have open ears to hear your word, an open heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Because we know that your word is not empty, but it's full of life. It's full of power. It's full of love. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for your anointing and your call upon me to minister your word. Without Jesus, I can do nothing, but through him, I can do all things. So I give him the glory. I give him the glory. I give him the glory. I take none for myself. I give him the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Last week, we began in Revelation, the third chapter, and beginning at the seventh verse, which is a letter written to the Philadelphian church. And it says, and to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, write. And I've said this a number of times, and there's more than one school of thought on this. But the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation under the anointing of the Holy, in direction of the Holy Spirit, he was told to write. John was told to write. John was told to do the writing. Okay? Amen. Excuse me. It says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. Okay? And now, again, let me say there are more than one school of thought on this. But I don't believe Jesus would tell the Apostle John to write to an angel. But I do believe he would have him to write to the pastors. And remember, I told you that word angel also means messenger. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that. Amen. Angelos, messenger. So what Jesus was saying to the Apostle John is, and to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write. And of course, he said the same thing to the other six churches as well. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there's some things that Jesus, there's some information that the Lord Jesus wanted to get into the church. There's some things that the people in the church needed to know. Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. Is it any different today than it was when this letter was written to the church at Philadelphia, one of the seven churches, Asia Minor, which were actually in Turkey? I want you to receive what I'm ministering to you and teaching you. I want you to receive it twofold. Understand it historically, that it actually happened. And these churches actually existed. Okay? Understand it historically, that these churches existed and that the Lord Jesus Christ had a message, had directions, chastisement for all of them. But even more, history, biblical history is very, very important. Amen? But let me tell you something that's more important is that what is God saying to us now? What's the Spirit of God saying to us now? What is he saying to the churches today? What is he saying to us individually today? Because it takes individuals to make a church. Amen. Amen. When I look out here at you, if you're born again, I'm looking at part of the church. Actually, when we come together like we have here tonight, we are the church assembling together. This church facility is not the church. We call it the church. Matter of fact, the name of it is Word of Life Fellowship Church. But this facility is not going to heaven. Amen. This is the place that we assemble in the name of the Lord, where we gather as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to hear from him, to be taught by him through his servants. And here's the good thing about it. I'm so glad that as born again believers, God's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to teach us, and we need that. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says, and we should receive them all as that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that God gave gifts to men. God gave gifts to men. So the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they are gifts from God to you. Amen. And I'm talking. Hallelujah. But here's what I'm getting at. Listen to me good. You are supposed, all of us are supposed to receive from them. Praise God, when I'm not preaching and I'm in a service, that I'm receiving too. I'm just like you are. When we have guest ministers here and I sit over in my place, guess what? I'm in receiving mode. I want to hear from God too. I want to hear the word of God too. So I'm in receiving mode. Praise God, hallelujah. But here's the good thing, and this is what I'm getting at. Not only are we to receive from those that speak into our lives, but we have the Holy Ghost also. And because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, guess what? He can speak some things directly to us. You know, I'm standing before you here this evening, but I do not know your individual situations or circumstances. But you know what? The Spirit of God does. You hear me? The Spirit of God does, and he will speak to you. And he can speak to you through something that I say. Isn't it amazing how God can take his word and his spoken word and tailor it to fit your need. Tailor it to speak into your life, to give you answers. Amen. I don't know about you, but I think that's great. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, having said all that, then as we go through the Church of Philadelphia, which we already started, I'm going to review just a little bit. But let the Spirit of God speak to you. Let him speak to us as the church individually and as the church collectively, that we might please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if there's anybody in here that love him, lift your hands and shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All righty. So let's go back to the third chapter. And they have it on the screen. I'll just look up at the screen. It says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, and we talked about these, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. Hallelujah. And I want to say a few extra things about what Jesus said about himself, how he identifies himself, because we as believers have to see this. We have to see him as he truly is. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when Jesus says, I'm holy, what he was saying is he's pure in every sense of the word. There is no stain in him. He is perfect. You hear? He is perfect. Hallelujah. And here's the good thing about it. Think about this for a moment. We know that before Jesus Christ took on a body and came to this earth to save us, to deliver us, he was holy, right? Right? He was holy before he came. That means he came. In other words, let me say it this way. He was without sin before he came. Amen. And then he came, took on a body, earthen body, lived here in this earth around 33 and a half years. And the whole time, the same Jesus, the whole time, that he had this body suit on, guess what? He was holy. He never sinned. He never made a mistake. He was perfect in every way. Even, listen, in heaven, he was surrounded by perfection. When he came to the earth, he was in the midst of imperfection. Men was trying to trip him up. They was trying to kill him. They was trying to get rid of him any way they could. But in the midst of all that, he remained perfect. He remained holy. He was crucified on the cross, died, buried, rose again, and he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And guess what? He's still holy. From heaven to earth and back to heaven, he remained holy. And he is holy forevermore. Now, here's the thing. This is, guys, for upstairs, put 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 on the screen. Now, I want you to see something. He is holy, right? But now listen, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Called you is what? Holy. You also be what? Holy in all your conduct. We are to be holy. As he is a holy, we're to be holy in all of our conduct. Now, no, we're not perfect like he was. We're not perfect like he is. But we have the Holy Spirit, the perfect one, the Holy One, to help us, to lead us, and to guide us. Now, verse 16, please. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Well, how do a holy person live? Their whole desire in life is to please God. Let me say that again. Their whole desire in life is to please God. Please God in what they say, what comes out of their mouths. Please God in how they act and treat other people. Whatever we do, we filter it through God. But now, God knows that we are the dust of the earth, and He knows that we're subject to error. But when God said, be holy as I am holy, that means our mind is set on pleasing God. But if we happen to mess up, if we happen to miss it, then we know what to do. We are to what? Go to God, confess our sins, and what did He promise us He would do? He would forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. See, that's holy living. Holy living doesn't mean you're always perfect, but holy living says my mind is set on pleasing God. My mind is set on doing whatever pleases God, whatever God's word tells me to do. But if I miss it, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Because I'm still in this old earth body. And sometimes we miss it, especially as we are growing spiritually. We miss it. But when you make a decision you're going to live a holy life, you don't make excuses. You do something about the situation. See, some folks want to make excuses for how they live. Well, you just don't know how I grew up. You don't know how I was treated. You don't know what happened to me as a child. This, you know, that, and the other. All those things were terrible. We agree with you on that. But you have a Savior. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And He will help you. That's the reason Jesus gave Him to you. That's the reason, you know, we not only are we born again, but we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He leads us and He guides us. Amen. And He will help us not to make the same mistake over and over and over again. We all grow. We ought to do what? Grow in holiness. Don't you want to be like Him? Yes. Don't you? I do. Don't you want to be a bright light that's shining here in this earth? Amen. So Jesus identified Himself as the Holy One. We talked about this last week. But I want to say a little bit more about what else He said. We talked about it last week, but I want to say this. He identified Himself as true. In other words, what He was saying is, I'm holy. And I'm true. In other words, I'm genuine. I'm not a fake. I am for real. I am who I say that I am. Glory to God. Matter of fact, Jesus identified Himself in John chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. He says, I'm true. I'm true. Folks, Jesus Christ is for real. He is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do. He's true. And his word is true. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's real, folks. And then we talked about this. He said, also, I have the key of David. What Jesus was saying is, I've been given all authority. Remember, we covered that. All authority, talked about that in Matthew chapter 28. All authority, he told him, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth, not just in earth, but in heaven and in earth. All authority has been given to me. Now, here's what he was getting at. Know that I'm holy, I am true, and I have all authority. And then we talked about this. Then he went on to say, I open doors that no man can shut. Because I'm holy, true, and have all authority. I open doors which no man can shut, and I shut doors that no man can open. Now see, that all make you shout right there. Why don't you look at somebody, even if you have to shout it across, we're kind of sparse, but if you have to shout it across the church, say, let's tell somebody, he's talking to me. Hallelujah. He'll open doors for us. And no man can shut them. Years ago, and I may have the words all messed up, but I don't think I do. There you go. What God, thank you, sister, helping me out there. God bless her extra. Amen. What God has for me is this way. What doors God opened for me is for me. And if I will walk in his word, walk in faith, I can enjoy what God has done for me. Hey. You just can't curse what God has blessed. Is that right, Dee? You can't, if you're walking in God's blessing, you know who you are in him. You can't curse what God's blessed. You can try to stop it. You can do whatever you want to do. But if God's opened that door, no man can close it. Now the devil will try to talk you out of walking through it. Especially since we walk by faith and not by sight. He'll try to talk you out of it. He'll try to cause fear to come. He'll tell you, you can't do that. You're not smart enough to do this. You're going to fail. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Oh, no. If God opened that, if Jesus opened that door for you, you go through it praising God. You're going to be all right. Glory to God. And then he went on to say, I close doors that no man can open. Yeah. You don't have to raise your hand, but I just want to give you something to think about. You don't even have to acknowledge, just think about it. But how many of you have had problems since you've been saved, since you've been born again, with your past, okay? Decisions you made, things you did that you now regret or ashamed of. And so the devil would try to bring that back to you, you know, how bad you were. Or maybe people will, man, you know, I remember how you used to be. Man, you was a mess. You know, remember? That's the old man. That's the old man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. Praise God. But let me tell you something. People may try to remind you of how you used to be. And don't get me wrong, some people talk about how they used to be as a testimony to the glory of God to help somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that. When you give your testimony, it shouldn't be because you're still in bondage to what you're testifying about. You should be free. If you ain't free, it's not a testimony. Now, you can talk about how you used to be, but if you're still bound by that, that's not a testimony. You still need to get free. But if you're free, yes, it can be a testimony to help someone else that may be going through the same thing that you went through. But here's the good thing about it. It doesn't matter what anybody else say. It doesn't matter what kind of thoughts the devil tried to throw at you. Nobody can open that door. Because Jesus closed it. It's closed forever. I'm so glad. The Word of God tells us that He separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. That means you can go either direction you want to. You won't find them. Hallelujah. Testify yourself and look at somebody and just tell them, say, I'm free. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Folks, I wanted to get into something new. I may not have time, but I really just sensed that the Lord wanted me to deal with this a little bit more of who Jesus is. He's holy. He's true. He's genuine. Nothing phony about Him. And He has all authority. You know, we have to tell the truth, don't we? There are people that are sitting in churches today, and thank God they're in church. They, you know, if it's a good word church preaching the uncompromised word of God, amen. If that's the case, they're in the right place. But if there are people in churches, they're saved. They know God. Some of them spirit-filled. But they're still hurting. You hear me? They're still hurting. And listen to me. Jesus Himself said, ma'am, sir, young man, young lady, I've come to set the captive free. Did y'all hear what I said? Jesus says, I've come to set the captive free. He came to set you free, to close that door, to never be opened again. Hallelujah. But Pastor, how does that happen? That's when you give it to him once and for all and say, this is it. Not dealing with this anymore. I put it under the blood. Lord, I give this care to you. And I'm not taking it back. I will not insult you by taking it back after you've done everything for me to be free. And get rid of all the buts. But nothing. I'm free. Hallelujah. And that's where we have to be. And when you get that way, you can move on down the road. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can walk in the victory that's been ordained for you to walk in. You can live in freedom that God has purchased for you. You can be happy. There's too many unhappy Christians. Let's get happy. Let's walk in the joy of the Lord. Our joy not being governed by what we see, what we hear, how we feel, or what happened in the past. Our joy is in Jesus Christ, who purchased my salvation. And my salvation includes happiness, not based on circumstances, but based on what he did, based on what his word says. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whom the Son sets free. Say it loud. Whom the Son set free is? One more time. Whom the Son set free is?
Free indeed.
Free indeed. That should be your declaration in the midst of anything you face. I'm free in Jesus' name. And because, and I'm going to get ready to close this out right here. I got some other stuff. We'll get to it if the Lord tarries. But because we have the Holy One living on the inside of us, when we make a declaration standing on God's word, the right doors are going to open for us, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead us, and he's going to guide us. And great shall be our peace. Great shall be our peace. The word of God tells us we shall be led forth with peace. So in closing, let me tell you something. Start singing. Pastor, I don't know too many songs. Well, make them up as you go, as long as they're based on the word of God. Amen. Have a song in your heart. You don't always have to sing somebody else's song. It's okay to sing somebody else's song. But sometime if you, y'all listening to me, sometime if you stay sensitive and open to the Holy Spirit, Brother Jim, he'll give you your own song. He'll give you your own personal song. You can sing it around the house. You can sing it in the bathroom. You can sing it in the car. Glory be to God. Because you choose to rejoice. Pastor, I don't sing too well. Get somewhere where nobody can hear you. It still sounds good to God. If it's coming from your heart, it sounds good to God. Might sound rough to other people, but it sounds good to God. I mean, if you really can't sing, you don't want to get in public and scare everybody off, but you can get by yourself. Sometimes, I'm sure, sometimes you're in your car by yourself, sing. Sing at top of your voice. You may not even be in tune. It don't matter. God hear you. And he knows where it's coming from. And it, listen to me, and it becomes music to his ears. Because he don't see as man see. Man looks on the outward appearance, but where do God look? Tell me, Sister Mildred, where does he look? He looks at our heart. Make a joyful noise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet and make a joyful noise just by giving him praise right here and now? Glory to God. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.